sanctification, taught them God's way. And these people got in trouble. Other teachers come among them teaching another way. And they got in trouble. So now the Apostle Paul come back and verify what he taught them to get them back in place. I just want to read a few notes. We're going to study this book. We're just in the first chapter. In the book of Galatians, Paul was dealing with legalism in the church, contradicting salvation, which is by grace through faith. Now look at Ephesians 2:8, because it has something to do with this. Ephesians 2:8 is the major principle of one being able to walk by faith. It's the major principle of one being able to receive revelation and manifestation and demonstration from God. I think that because we got away from this principle of the cross and this principle or doctrine of grace, we went into a whole lot of other stuff with the word, but yet these are a major foundation that cannot be taken away. And so a lot of times believers suffer. Believers live insufficient life. Matter of fact, I'm talking about tonight to make it clear, the sufficiency of the cross. And a lot of times there's insufficiency because if the cross is not rightly understood, then our faith can't be rightly activated in the cross. Then grace cannot be activated properly. And then the enemy is able to block us out with religion, tradition, scriptures, confession. Because you cannot take that cross from out of its place because it fulfilled the Old Testament and manifests the New Testament. Yes, sir. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
The cross must be in place in my life. My understanding, the wisdom of the cross must be in place. And a lot of things try to take the place of it. So these Judaizers who perverted the gospel and they taught Gentile Christians that they must still observe some part of the law, like being circumcised, to fully experience salvation. Let me give this to you because we're going to divide this whole chapter now, I believe. This doctrine contradicted what Paul taught, that salvation was by grace through faith, and any removal of grace or fall from grace was a backsliding from the gospel. So Ephesians 2:8, that's why I told you, you looked at it? Ephesians 2:8. See, that's the major principle. If that principle is not understood, well, your prayer life, your confession life, your walk with God is not going to be as it should be. And so that's why we have this wayward church at large. Now, the church is a wayward church, and it wavers. Remember James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The reason the wavering is in the church is that so many new doctrine, new things have been brought into church, new ways of serving God, and then leaving a central fact out, which is the cross that manufactured the grace that we need to operate in. Amen. You know, amen means I receive it. That's another thing I want to read to you before we start. So that's why, by taking this grace out, that's why I'm going to use two words. And then I'm going to try to break both of them word down. Justification and sanctification is not understood. Justification is that I've been made the righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I've been made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus who became sin for me. I just said it backwards. Sanctification is the ability to live the life. They both come through the cross. And so therefore, without a revelation of the cross, a Christian by self-effort, self-will, self-strength, by different formulas, different strategies, who really want to live for God, try to live for God, but they cannot live for God without understanding the grace of the cross.
Yes, sir.
See? And so that's why a lot of people still fall, because they're still trying to do it themselves. Now, Let's bring it today. The same perversion. You know what perversion means, right? Polluted. Mixing up with different things. The same perverting of the gospel that Paul combat in this letter keep appearing in various form in the church today. The same perversion. Legalism, which teaches that justification or sanctification depend upon a person's own effort, thus denying the sufficiency of the cross, is the most persistent enemy of the gospel of grace. All right, you listening? All right, just give me to tell you one or two more things, then we're going to go to the lesson. I gave you about 13 things about grace last session, right? Two people answered me. All right, Galatians chapter 1, let's begin. Let's look again at verse 4. I want to look at verse 4 very closely, because when one really understands the sufficiency of the cross, they live a life of grace and peacefulness. No matter what tribulation, no matter what trouble, that grace and that peace will still be with them when they understand the power of the cross. Their faith is always in good places. So in this fourth verse, Paul, in reading it again and praying, and I read it over and over again, this chapter and this book, been listening to this book over and over again, the fourth verse, first chapter, fourth verse, who gave himself for our sins. What that mean? He gave himself for our sins. Now, we said that the problem with people today is they're trying to fight sins. Sins, plural. And what's happening is, because we are not aware of the sin nature still in your body. If that sin nature is not kept under the cross, understanding the cross, it's going to defeat you. But the effect of the sin nature, because you're a Christian, have been taken from your life in your spirit. And so that's how Christians get in trouble. They're fighting sin. No, they got to make sure they stay in the right place so the grace can overcome that sin nature. You see, because we were taught that everything gone. But if everything gone, why are the church having so much trouble to live right? And why are so many sick among us? Why are so many weak? And why are so many can't get their finances straight? See, all that's because they're not operating in grace properly. And no magic wand. Your salvation, your justification, your health, your finance, all that been paid for. Your prosperity, all that's paid for. But you got to rightly understand it, because you try to get it some other kind of way, it's going to mess you up. So when he talked about grace, be to you in peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. In the third verse, he said, who gave himself for our sin. All right? So I wrote my note, the gift of Jesus on the cross. Jesus was a gift. And he actually was presented when he was given on the cross. That's when we really received the gift. Paid for everything, right? Now, notice in that same verse that he might deliver us from the present of this evil world. So I want you to see the word, not on, I want you to see the word not delivered. Delivered. You know, what is Colossians 1:13? Turn there. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We're delivered. Galatians 3:13, they're talking about Christ has redeemed us. See, you at Colossians, hurry up. Is 1:13? What it say? Delivered us from what? The power of darkness, the power of the devil, the power of demon. But he did it, if you read it on, he did it through the blood. Did it through his cross. So what I'm saying is, everything held back from us is held back from us through ignorance. We're going to further deal with one of the main things that rob us is religion and tradition. Paul started talking about how he's working with it. So he bring us in that fourth verse, deliverance by the cross is a gift, is a deliverance, and it is a fulfillment of the Father's will. So we cannot fulfill the Father's will without what the Father provided for us to fulfill his will. So Satan has been, and he has done a mighty, splendid job of ignoring the cross, which is the very power that we need. And we got all this good teaching and proud teaching, but it's not producing what God wants to produce. Let's go to verse 6 of the first chapter. Here you read, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Unto another gospel. What did he call you into what? He's talking about the grace of Christ is when Christ died on that cross. Huh? Now, Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed. Soon removed. And I wrote a footnote you might want to hear. The cross is the anchor of salvation. The cross is the anchor of sanctification. The cross is the anchor of the gospel. And when you move from it, you're taking your anchors up. You're trying to have a cross, trying to have a gospel with no cross, a gospel with no blood. Now you might ask, what good does this do me? Lord, have mercy. You really need help because we're trying to drive the nail back where it's supposed to be. Go with me now. We're dealing with this chapter. Go with me. They were soon removed. Some people are so soon removed. You know, I can't even understand a person sitting in this ministry about 3 years, and then I know where they go sometimes. I don't really understand that. Maybe they was in here with earplugs on. Or maybe the devil made them deaf every time they got here. Because you just can't, once you learn, you can't conform back to not knowing. And I don't understand that. I've seen it happen over and over. It seemed to be just a habit, but I know they're lying. It seemed to be just a habit because they put a front on when they see me. How you doing? Bless God. I say, hey, how you doing, baby? And I know they're dying on the vine. I'm not making fun of them. Just the idea. Now, notice how Paul deal with this in the 11th verse. I'm going to go to the 11th verse now. Look at the first four words. What the first four words? Paul is certifying in the spirit like a certified accountant with stamped legal papers. He said, I certify you, because he's trying to catch these people if they're going the wrong way. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. What certified mean here? Make known by revelation. I make known to you by revelation that this is the real gospel. And if you notice in this chapter, some of y'all should have read this chapter, over and again he says, not from man, not from man, not from the flesh. He keep reminding us that 4 or 5 times. It was revealed to him, So if it was revealed to him, it's going to have to be revealed to you. May the Holy Spirit give a revelation to each one of our hearts, our participation in the grace that is given to us by the cross will make us strong. Not wrong, strong. So notice what he says, But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, not after man, not after man, not after man. For I neither receive it of man. He began the epistle with this, you know. Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying to us, when you read this, you need a revelation. Because just reading it on the surface is not going to expose the goodness of God, expose the grace of God that is available for a believer. See. We've gone so far the other way, we think we know. And so when the truth come at us, we say, all right. But yet there's a shortage in our lives. We know it's there. We know things are not manifest. Healing is not manifesting like it should. We know it's not. We know it's not. We know we got too big a God for the results we get. Let me say that again. Let me see who up in here. I said we know we have too big of God for the results we get. How many of y'all know there's more results? The world getting more results out of their way sometimes than the church getting results out of their way. So it called the church to go over to the world. Now look at the 13th verse. Let's walk through this. Because now we're going to deal with religion and tradition, which will rob you of the validity of the cross. And religion and tradition will hairline themselves as if they're working from the basis of the cross, just enough to keep you from the cross. They'll give the cross what I call honorable mention. But they won't dig into, good God Almighty, won't dig into the revelation and the impartation of the cross in an individual life. That it's your anchor, baby. It's your anchor. The cross is the anchor. This cross is something the devil can't pull up. See? Now, we're not talking about the beam. Look with me. We're talking about John 19:30. Look at it. John 19:30. Keep flipping as I tell you. It's one of the words that Jesus said on the cross, the concluding word, after he says, Father, it is finished. What? Every scripture is finished. Every promise is finished, man. Every revelation that the Holy Spirit gives you is finished. Let's go further with this. Lean over to Hebrews 12:2 now. See? Feed on this. See? The finished work of the cross. Every prayer you pray, every challenge you take, everything you need to happen for you supernaturally, you must know where it come from. It's one of the word variety is not no. It's one of the, I'll show it to you. Let's look at this verse first. I'm going to show it to you. Then Hebrews 12:2. What did it say? Look in what? What do you call him? The what? All then finished. Where do you think he did that at? All then finished of what? All then finished of our faith. What he did? See, listen right here where we lose. Because if you don't have this jar set before you, you're not going to be able to endure the attacks. See. You have to know there's something on the other side of what's happening to you now. Yes, sir. Bible says you hold out and prove faithful to the end. All right? It's going to take grace to do that. Yes, sir. Who for the joy that was set for him endured the cross And you know, a lot of time things don't work right now in life. We want to please our fellow man.
Come on, Dad.
But that's the way life goes.
Right.
Despising not the shame.
Right.
Nothing to be ashamed about when you attack.
Yes, sir. Come on, Dad.
Nothing to be ashamed about when your life have come off the road a little bit.
Come on, Dad.
Just work it till you get it back on the road.
Yes, sir.
I mean, have common sense. If your car slide off the road in a wet rain, muddy, you're just going to leave and say, I have no car. Go into your house and just like you got no car. No. Call a wrecker. Get somebody. Flag somebody down. Man, help me get my car to you. I need my car. Well, that's the way your life is. You don't have to be explaining to nobody when your back have hit the wall and things not going right. A real Christian won't ask you no problem. When they see you going through something, they won't ask you a bunch of crazy questions. A real Christian will just start praying for you in privacy and never say nothing to you. But it's these know-they folks who don't have no understanding how things work. They won't say, well, what happened to her? Where he at? Where she at? So it just caused problem in the church. We can't be brothers and sisters because we're out of functioning. We have accepted some other kind of gospel. The gospel of grace will give you place to be merciful on a person who's not making it at this moment. That's where the culture of honor come in at. The church lost the culture of honor because it left the cross. It left grace. You want grace, you got to give grace. Every now and then you will see one of your church members, your fellow Christian, suffering through something. Every now and then. But why beat them down? Why talk about them? Why put them down? Why don't you shut up? Why don't you pray for them? This woman been faithful for 20 years. Now they got a problem, and you're going to act like the 20 years don't worth nothing? You see, but that's what the enemy wants. That's what the enemy wants.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, you find out what's happening?
Yes, sir.
You find out what's happening?
Yes, sir.
That's why you have all this broken fellowship in the church. Because we're not operating as brothers and sisters because the grace of God is not in right place, you see. Go back to Ephesians 2:8.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say it by what?
Grace.
Through what?
Faith.
Uh-huh. That's what? Not of ourselves. And now you need to eat that. But it's the gift of God. Now, in Romans 14:17, because I started talking about grace, everything you do in the spirit world, you need a grace for it. You start off in Ephesians 2:8, you're saved by grace, then you begin to live a grace life. Say grace life.
Grace life.
Otherwise, you begin to live a life of favor from God. Do you know God is not looking for your mistake?
Come on,
Dad. The only way he's looking for them is to fix them. You're saying, let Jesus fix it for me. He'll fix it for you if you get out of the way. But he's not looking to put you down. He's looking, God is a God of compassion, God of love, and he wants you to be strong. In that scripture, do you have about abundance of grace? If I'm not, Romans 14:17, is the right scripture? That's not the right scripture? Well, what scripture is where there's abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace? It's 5:17, Romans 5:17. See that you're sure. All right, 5:17. Because I want you to see that word, how it ran in life. See, the cross put out a whole lot of graces. And through those abundance of grace, see what it's running with? The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. See them two running, where they both came from Calvary. See, just like you got saved, that's the way you live. You got saved on God's favor, you live in God's favor. All right. So now here, in verse 13 and 14, that's why I told you 13 and 14. For you have heard of my conversation. Paul goes, now Paul have told him, if anybody preaching the other gospel, let him be a castaway. But now he's explaining his life. He's saying the 13th verse, for you have heard of my conversation or my lifestyle in time past in the Jews religion. That is, Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Here you go again, now verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal in my own nation. In other words, Paul said, I was into it. Watch what he said now. Latter part of the verse. Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. What I want you to see right there. Religion and tradition. Religion and tradition will keep you from understanding the sufficiency of the cross and the abundance of graces that God have given you to reign in life. Not enough Christian reigning in life. I said not, let me say it again. It's not enough Christian. See, you think you're reigning, but you're not reigning until you're reigning. It's not reigning, ruling, mastering, calling the shots. And we got it, this doctrine of the cross, the sufficiency of the cross must become a revelation beyond what you've just been taught. On and on, eon of time must recognize the past, the present, and the future have been taken care of by the cross. See, so when he said this religion and tradition have become strongholds against truth. Strongholds. I mean, this is the way we've been doing it. This is a new thing. It's come out as a new thing. No, it's what God started with that was taken out by man, taken out by tradition, taken out by religion, taken out by organizations, taken out by denominations. And the Lord want to bring it back. Coming back looking for a church without spot or rancor, a church that is reigning. We're supposed to be ruling. There's a kingdom on the inside of us where a king live in that kingdom. So look with me again at another set of scriptures. I'm trying to take you through some set of scriptures, and I'm gonna give you some things that I wrote for you. Look at verse 15, and we'll read down. Hallelujah. I have some new notes for you. Oh, yeah, let's see. What did I tell you? 15 verse, right? Now watch what you read this. Watch what happened. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his what?
Grace.
All right, now watch verse 16. This is what we have to know. Christianity is a revelatory life. It is a person who is connected properly with God, constantly getting revelation from God that is beyond the situation. Christianity is not just a prayer meeting. Christianity is not just a little Bible study. Christianity is a connection with the living God who will tell you things supernatural that you couldn't find no other kind of way. Christianity, the presence of God snatch you out of lion's mouth, snatch you out of fire. Put you on the ark when it's raining. You understand what I'm saying, right? We have a better covenant. But my goodness, if it's a covenant absent from the cross, absent from the finished work. Absent from the abundance of graces that he's given us with righteousness to reign in life through faith. Faith has nothing to work with if it doesn't have the cross. Faith can't work the word without the cross. Because the word become ineffective without Christ. So here, the 15th verse said, but when it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb and call me by his grace to what?
Reveal.
To what? Underline that word. To reveal his son in me. Jesus. There is a revelation for every dilemma. What? I said, you a Christian, right? Every dilemma come in your life, there's a revelation to cause you to walk on it. Listen, as a Christian, every dilemma come in your life is a revelation for you to walk on it like Peter walked on the water. Every revelation. Every dilemma. Now look, notice verse, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, listen to what Paul said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which was apostles before me, but I went to Arabia, got out of town. I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. All right. Grace, call, revelation, no flesh and blood. Denying the sufficiency of the cross, I'm talking about church-wide now. I'm talking about television preachers, everybody you hear, even some books I read, even some of my books is almost depleted of the cross. Denying the sufficiency of the cross is the most persistent enemy of the gospel of grace. Self-effort, human religion, strong tradition, political power, trust in the law, all cannot save. It is the work of the cross of Christ and the work of grace and the act of faith alone that produces salvation. Now, what I'm saying to you, what produced salvation produces sanctification. What produced salvation, which produced sanctification, which produces faith, produces your life. Produces your miracle, produces your sign, produces your wonder. Somehow, why we have a shortage on miracle signs and wonder? We have been trying to get them some other kind of way. Whole denomination come and took the cross out. To a large degree, the word of faith does not preach the cross. And I'm a word of faith person. Full gospel. They got so now they got like drama. They're dramatizing the scripture. You know, they wooing you instead of warning you. And so as an apostle, I have to deal with these things because the Lord, I don't want to get in trouble with the Lord. Lord said, I have to deal with these things. Because the sufficiency of the cross is what's going to make a Christian strong. That's why Galatians 2:20, look at it again. That's why it's so strong, Galatians 2. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that's a cross, see? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me, in the life that I now live in the flesh. Notice what it says. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and gave himself for me. Then the next verse says, I will not frustrate the grace of God. So God's grace in the body of Christ and Lord have been frustrated. You know, they ask the question, say, well, why God, why we have so many divorces? You know, some of you just married the wrong person, I know that. You wake up and find that out, you're in trouble, you know, but you really need grace then. But all these divorces is not the wrong person. It's just the devil just broke it up. Because they didn't know how to look to the cross. They didn't look to the grace of God. So the Bible says through the abundance of grace, you reign in life. Grace keep a marriage together. Ain't no love and sex. Grace keep a marriage together. Everybody been left because we're two different people. I've been left my house. Carolyn been left. We're two different people. But grace. I know y'all are saying everything going to love it, dub everything right all the time. You lying. So the sufficiency of the grace of the cross of the gospel, justification, sanctification, revelation, manifestation, demonstration, all those things come from that grace. Now, here's enemies of the cross, revelation. Enemy of the cross of grace is religion, doctrines of men, tradition, denomination, psychology, and social gospel. That's just a few of them. Now, Paul was pointing out to these people that got away. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel somebody going to get a breakthrough. Let me tell you how to get a quick breakthrough. What you're dealing with, you go before the Father. Say, Father, I come under the sufficiency of the cross. And I'm expecting you to give me the grace to handle this. He'll do it. He will do it. Because that's his masterpiece. Right there when he sent his son to die on the cross. All that, I showed you about it, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness is the way we reign. So if you want to reign over something, what you need? Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's a grace for everything. God said, call me on the carpet if you don't believe me. Call me on the carpet. You know how to call me on the carpet. Call me on the carpet by what I've done through Christ. I love to be called on the carpet so I can show you what I can do. But you got to know how to call me on the carpet. I don't mind being called on the carpet. I'm God. I made the carpet. See what I'm saying? The cross of Christ is the divine origin of the gospel. See now if we don't get it mixed up, just seeing a Christ hanging on this cross and blood running down his hand and you know shouting over that. But there was more than that happening. The demand of justice was being satisfied. See. The last Adam was correcting what the first Adam messed up. Satan's defeat can be maintained now by a Christian who know what they're doing. So it got so far here in this man-made doctrine who had robbed them of the grace of the cross. It got so far here that Paul had to defend his apostolic independence, not in the spirit of pushing indignation. He had to defend his apostleship to establish the divine origin of the gospel. Now, I say this, I won't say it loud and clear because it's in the church today. See, one of the problems is the church have vague understanding of what a real apostle is. And a real apostle is to straighten out doctrine. Tell us where we're missing that. Tell pastors where they're missing that. Prophet don't want to admit it. A lot of prophets, I read prophet book, but the apostle supposed to tell them where they're missing that. And so if a church go on without an apostolic insight, that church not going to ever get back where it's supposed to go. So the same perversion of the gospel that Paul combat now in this book keep appearing in various forms. Oftentimes, the observers of certain rules regulations or religious ideas is made to coordinate with faith in Christ as the condition of Christian maturity. You see, in other words, you think you got to have certain rules, certain regulations, and you put that together with Christ, and you're right. No, no, it's Christ alone. Quite naturally, you got some things. Divine order has to be kept in the church. You got the ushers to keep things. You know, you can't let nobody do anything, but that ain't saving you. I mean, one thing saving you, Christ and him crucified. Now, did you get the gist of this, that the Holy Spirit cannot give his full participation without the cross? Without one having a revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Holy Spirit cannot work 100% in your life. What I'm trying to do in this church is get it where each individual can have 100% work of the Holy Spirit in their life. And I never have to worry as a pastor. I know they know what to do at any given time. But if you leave that cross out and you go with your chants and different things you find out through these different denominations, then the Holy Spirit can do so much and no more, but he can't violate that cross. Now, I'm just, tonight, you know, I just taught you into 100% victory. If you just follow, like my wife, if you just follow this one teaching, you're walking 100% victory because you got 100% participation of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's job is to function in the graces of God. And so when one, by revelation, give him a grace to function in with faith, he just turned plumb supernatural. See, the Holy Spirit don't see no impossibility. It's Satan who set us in these impossibility traps. Reaching for something else, some other way to get it done. Some other way to get it done. Lord, I love you. And then reaching for some other way to get it done. Cut yourself off from the real thing. Grab something else. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Y'all can do this.
Yes, sir.
You're going to take meditation. You're going to take, ain't going to take a whole lot of praying. It's already done. See, because we try to, a lot of time, now I'm not knocking any prayer, meditate, but a lot of time we're trying to do through prayer what the cross already have done. Now, suppose we connect the two together. Prayer and the cross working together. Prayer and the revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified working together. Suppose we do that, I receive. Suppose we do that. Huh? I got 2 minutes. What are you dealing with tonight? What personal dilemma? What personal attack? What personal trap you caught in? What you need? What you want? What you desire? That's what this preaching is about. This ministry is availing you to the whole spectrum of the kingdom. Cross is a kingdom mover, because the kingdom couldn't exist without the cross. The 17th chapter of Luke said, "Don't look here, Dad. Search it. You don't have to search no more. It's on the inside of you. The kingdom is within you." What happened without can never overrule what is within. That's why, let's close with 1 John 4:4. That's why the Bible said that. See, that's why the Bible said that. The Bible, you got to know the potentials. You got to know you have perpetual victory on the inside of you.
Yes, sir.
But you got to know how to use it.
Yes, sir.
What happened outside don't make no difference. if what's on the inside is greater. But what's happening outside, what happened outside seems bigger if you don't know what's happening within. You've overcome them, little children. I see scripture, all scriptures make more spiritual sense. You'll overcome them, little children, because greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. So everything happening on the outside, in our bodies, in our mind, in our soul, strongholds trying to be built, they're not the last word. I'm trying to train you. I got a clue, but I'm trying to train you to know that from within you're bigger than anything that ever attacked you. You can't hang with religious folk. They're going to pull you down to their level. When you start operating in revelation, I'm not talking about being nasty to people, but you can't run with them. You can't be sitting down talking with them all day. You got to separate yourself, because what you hear is what you got to deal with. So I don't hang with talking preachers, because they're gonna talk something that I got to go research it. If I didn't hear it, I never had to research it. My spirit knows not right when they first say it, but I got to go research it now. I got to take my time to research it, because they didn't say the question that's puzzling to me. See? I want to know. You can't be held back no longer. There's no way for you to be held back. You know, you're sitting there dreaming. Stop dreaming. Take it. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, for the violent take it by force. I got to close, brothers and sisters, but the same thing that Paul was dealing with that caused the church to be weak is all of these additives. And it's grace and faith. Take me from a word tonight. Take the Holy Ghost for his word tonight. I pronounce 100% victory in your life. Everything you're dealing with, by internet, by Roku, anybody listening, everything you're dealing with tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus, if you're not saved, you need to come into the family of God. You need to confess Christ, because I'm talking to Christians now. You can get healed as a sinner. You can get healed, but you can't go to heaven as a sinner. And you can't stay healed. But I'm talking to these Christians in here. You should have 100% victory and expect it every day. If it don't come Thursday, expect it to show up Friday.
Yes, sir.
Just every day.
Yes, sir.
That woman that Jesus wouldn't answer, she kept coming back to him. Now, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that lives are changed in this very place tonight. We thank you that individuals who are dealing with something that man can't.